Sometimes I'm introduced as a missionary from the Philippines. Is that because I look like a Filipino? I'm a missionary to the Philippines. I forgot my password anyway. All right, there you go. Right, yes, I'm an officially appointed JEG, Japan Assemblies of God, missionary to the Philippines. Yes, I'm a graduate of the Hiroshima University in 1991, 20 years ago. And this is my first time to be here. Logos. This is my first time to be here in these past 20 years. Exactly the first time, so I'm really moved in tears and oh my goodness. And this morning was like, you know, to me was like I was in heaven, you know, seeing old faces. Oh, you're here, you're here, you're still here, and like this. And I was so, you know, touched and a wonderful morning. And also this afternoon, I'm very happy to be here together with you to worship God together. So, and also I was listening to, especially the presentation of Guatemala, right? You know, they really, exactly, you know, they look like Filipinos. The only difference, yeah, in the Philippines they sell chickens and tilapia and everything. The only difference is in Guatemala they eat, what's that? Tortilla. Right, in the Philippines they eat rice. Yes, we have the kind of Asian identity there in the Philippines. But thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm very happy to be here with you, and this must be a great time to worship the Lord together. So I was here, and I went to Osaka, and I finished my graduate studies there for my master's degree. In linguistics again, but I was kind of led to the area of Christian translation after that. I was doing translation of Christian literature for Japanese people. Then I realized that I will have to study more. Then first I was thinking of going to a seminary in Canada, but somehow the Lord led me to the Philippines in a place called Baguio. It's up on the north and 1,600 meters high. So it's a very cold and cool place. And of course, everybody's cool, but the place is cool. And you know, this is kind of a 25 Celsius or something, right? A little bit hotter than that. But in Baguio, all year round, it's 25 Celsius or less. So we don't need any air conditioning or any electric fans. So that's why the most difficult questions, one of the most difficult questions people may ask to me is, you know, it's very hot in the Philippines, isn't it? Then I say, yes, generally true, but you know, that isn't the case there in Baguio place. So I'm sorry, we are spoiled than you are here in Japan. You know, you have four different seasons. In summer, it's very hot. In the winter, it's very cold. But in Baguio, it's like heaven. So, but the problem is humidity and a lot of thick clouds always flowing in. And my books are very, very thick because of the, you know, humidity. But praise the Lord, God has given me some ministries to do. And I will talk about it later. But today, I would like to, we would like to open Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 12. So some of you may prefer me to make it bigger. Romans 15, verses 8 through 12. In NIV, it goes like this. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. 11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to Him, all you peoples. 12. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in Him. Today, I would like to share this message with you, entitled Paul's Hope. Paul's Hope, Salvation, and Unity. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow down before You, and we have been blessed by the missions presentations from two different places of the world, for which we are privileged to support their ministries in their respective places. Lord, this is our missions Sunday, and it's the best time for us to think about missions. Not necessarily deep into the world, but missions even around us. Help us learn to catch a message, to be challenged by it, to be transformed by it, that we will not be the same persons anymore, but we will start walking as some people are new this afternoon. We commit this hour into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe some of you love the book of Romans. That's the longest letter, epistle, written by the Apostle Paul. And some say that's a book of theology, for sure. And some say that's a collection of good practical teachings, especially after chapter 12. But under everything is Paul's passion for his missions, especially for Spain, the end of the world at that time. So Paul wanted to go to Spain to preach the gospel because he says he doesn't want to build anything on somebody's basis. He wants to build something new from the scratch by himself. So he wanted to go all over to the end of the world, Spain, to build his church. But before that, he wanted to drop by at Rome to bless those who were in Rome and to be blessed by them. That's what he says in some later verses in chapter 15 and also in earlier chapters, chapters 1 and 2. So the book of Romans is a book of missions as well. And exactly this portion that we are exposed to here this afternoon is a very good summary of his idea of what mission is like. So first he talks about Jesus Christ in verse 8. At verse 8, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. So he talks about the Jewish people. He talks about the promises which are actually in the Old Testament. He He talks about Jesus who realized, who made the promises to the Jewish people true to them. So the promises of the Old Testament came true through Jesus, the Savior, and the Lord. Sorry, my microphone is very passionate. So Jewish people learned that it was Jesus who was the promised Savior. And of course, Jesus had some followers, disciples, among those Jewish people. That's the first story. But of course, as you know, the first story didn't end there. There was the second story that goes on through verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Verses 9 talks about the Gentiles. The Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. So the gospel started with the Jewish people, now was transplanted among the Gentiles. And I love the progression all through these verses you see here. Verse 9, it says, and these are a collection of the Old Testament quotations. In verse 9, he quotes, the Apostle Paul quotes, "Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles." So, of course, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, so that's why "I" refers to a Jewish person. So, a Jewish person praise you, God, among the Gentiles. Do you see the picture? So, he is out into the realm of the Jewish people, and he praises God. I don't know how. Alone, surrounded, or even persecuted, even ridiculed at. But he is worshiping God there. And the next step of the progression, verses 10 and 11. Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And 11, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles." So here, not only was this Jewish guy worshiping God alone or surrounded by the Gentiles, in verses 10 and 11, now he calls out to the Gentiles, "Gentiles, please come and join me." Come, Gentiles. It's kind of a weird English, I know. Come, Gentiles, join us. Let's worship the Lord together. And if you see verse 12, it says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse in the Old Testament refers to the King David. And the King David in the New Testament refers to, or even in the Old Testament refers to the Messiah. In the New Testament, the King David is the prototype of Jesus Christ. So the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, in this Roman context, will spring up, says, one who will rise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. Do you see this progression? Now the Jewish person was alone. Then he was calling out. And then finally the Gentiles have joined the Jews and worshiping Jesus together and have the hope, their hope in him. This is the second story. So Jewish people went out into the world. The 12 disciples minus Judas Iscariot plus the Apostle Paul. The 12 disciples went out to the world to preach the gospel. And not only the 12, but 70, 500, and countless people, countless Jews, countless Jewish Christians went out to the world and they preached the gospel and the Gentiles started to believe in Jesus. That's the second story. But the story didn't end, because if you go to chapter 2, verse 29, the Apostle Paul talks about the real circumcision. You know, circumcision was a sign for being a Jew. And he says the real circumcision is not the physical one, but the real circumcision is the circumcision of your heart by the Holy Spirit. So now the story goes on, and the Gentiles are reinterpreted as simply Christians. So the third story, the episode 3, goes with Christians. No matter what, Gentiles, Jewish, we don't care. Christians now go out into the world. Christians now worship God in the midst of non-Christians, Gentiles to our context. And they worship God even in the midst of persecutions, even in the midst of difficulties, even surrounded by them. And they worship, we worship God among them. We call out to our non-Christian, non-believing family members, friends, friends from our workplaces. We call out to invite them. Join us. Come to our church. Come to our gathering. Come to our fellowship. And our hope is that they will join us to worship the Lord together. And we are not exceptions, because even for us, somebody worshiped God around us. Somebody invited us to come to church. Of course, some of you may have been invited to the church by a tract or TV programs or radio, everything. But somebody invited. That's why we are here. And this is a story. This is the episode that's going on today. And it's going on and on and on, and it's been already 2,000 years. The 2,000 year history of Christianity is a sequence of going out, inviting, and joining together, going out, inviting, and joining together. And of course, that was not free of blood. Everywhere the blood was shed. When some people decided to go to some of the southern islands, islands in the Pacific Oceans, they knew that they would be killed, they would be tortured, and they would be killed and eaten by local people. Even in the Philippines, until 1960s, some of the tribes, mountain tribes, were killing people to eat. They learned, they knew that they would be killed and eaten. But they went out, and they were killed, and they were eaten. 5, 10, 15, we don't know how many. But in such a process of being killed and being eaten, a few by few, little by little, local people started to believe. And the church was born. And now, from those islands, people go out as missionaries to share the gospel. When European people decided to go to Africa during 18th, 19th century, they went out with a one-way ticket. They knew that they would not be able to come back home. They didn't have a suitcase. Their suitcase was, as you know, their coffin. So they put everything in the coffins, and they went to Africa one way. 3 days later, 3 weeks, 3 months later, first children, then spouses, then finally missionaries themselves fell down because of the sickness or because of persecution. But again, local people started to believe. Their church was born. And now their churches are big. And African churches are sending out their missionaries into all over the world today. That's a sequence of our missions effort in the past 2,000 years. And that's why, based on their blood, based on their tears, based on their efforts, we are here today. Even people who came to Japan, they were tortured. Their ears and noses cut off, crucified, or some of them thrown into volcanoes. That happened 500 years ago. And today we are standing on their blood. On the blood of Jesus and on the blood of martyrs. Praise the Lord. God has been faithful. And those, our forefathers, were faithful. And now it's our turn. We are now writing our episode. And we are now going out in the world, into the world to worship God among the Gentiles. And now we are the ones who call out loudly to people around us to invite them into this wonderful family fellowship of God. Do you say amen? Amen. And are you on that? Are you doing that? I believe you are. And now here I'd like to share something about the Philippines. Maybe you may want to see some video clips. So let's start with this, so that you can see how some of the Filipino churches are doing with their support. So I'm stationed in northern Luzon, a place called Baguio. And I'm working on basically on three pioneer churches, one in Baguio, one in Nueva Vizcaya, one in the Locosor. And Green Valley Assembly of God and Kinalo Assembly of God. And one more. So this is Green Valley, just a small local church. A female single pastor, and we are assisting her. You know, the church name is Green Valley, but somehow the color of the walls is pink. I still don't know why after 11 years. And in the northern Philippines, they speak Ilocano. Not Tagalog, you know, some of you speak in Tagalog. Kangkanawe. Kangkanawe. And these days, I more frequently preach in Ilocano, but still, I'm spoiled enough to preach in English. Then, a great strength of this church is children are growing. That's very good. And of course, among the children, some of them grow as their leaders. So, you know, you saw Guatemala, but, you know, the Philippines are the same. Kids' faces are the same. Their names are the same because many of them have Spanish names. So 3 years ago, we wanted to build a fence here because cars came, you know, fell off the course. But now, thanks to your offerings, we just put the fences around the church property. In the Philippines, we have so many children, maybe five at least in one family. Sometimes 10. So kids are very important. That's my wife. And that's my kid when she was two. She speaks English and Kansai Ben. And now, Kinaro and Nueva Vizcaya. This is a dam called Ambuklao Dam. You know this, right? This is a source of electricity. Tilapia, when? Adu dagiti tilapia jay. Say Locarno. There are so many tilapias there. And I'm shooting this video that's sitting at the top rooftop of the car. And after a while, it's a bumpy road called Massage Road, so you can enjoy free massage in a car. You know, people sit just on a rooftop like this. That's a very normal thing to see in the Philippines. And, you know, World Heritage, rice terraces, right? UNESCO. And on the top hill, you have a place called Kasibo, where you can find this Kinaro AG, Kinaro Assembly of God Church. You know, Filipino love rice, so a lot of rice fields. Very dusty road. And this is Kinaro AG. 6 hours from our place. And that's the pastor's family, John and Reggie Oregano. And kids, our kids are friends, so they are kind of sitting on a mango tree. Right? So free, you know, all you can, eat all you can, kind of mango, you know, feed. So please come to the Philippines to enjoy free mangoes. Recycle clothes from Japan. That's a great encouragement to them. And now, water baptism. You know, water buffalo and water baptism next to his bath. Very, very slimy water, eh? But there is a concept called Philippine time, so they can easily be late, you know, up to 2 hours this time. So when everybody was there, everybody was already tired. No energy to worship God. Like this. And this is kind of funny picture, you know, the pastor's dog is playing the guitar together with him. You know, the dog was suffering from a very serious skin disease. And finally, baptism. And the climax was the person who was 2 hours late. This pregnant woman who came walking under a strong, scorching sun. But she wanted to get baptized. So she was, you know, she was feeling freezing cold, but, you know, her delivery was successful, and now the baby, their daughter is 3 years old. So this is Kinaro. Green Body and Kinaro, and now I like to show something much deep in the mountains. Yeah, like this. Somewhere you cannot reach by car. This is a Japanese tour in 2007. So you go to the, you visit the village, it's crossing three hanging bridges like this. You know, so this year and last year, we had nobody who wanted to come to the Philippines, so we had to cancel our tours. And we were wondering why. Oh yeah, perhaps we used the picture of the hanging bridge to the inviting poster. So this year, next year, we will just give, you know, mountains of mangoes, so, you know, many people may want to come. So you just walk how many hours, 4 hours, 5 hours along the mountain trails like this. And one time I was walking here around 4 a.m. and I slipped and I almost fell off the cliff like this. So it continues. But I'd like you to see our dinner. That's a frog. He freaked out. Usually, you don't have to eat the head. Just pick up the leg and that's enough. But he was courageous. And you know, he came to the Philippines, his life was changed. So he says next year he wants to go to the Bible school to be a pastor. You know, if you go to the Philippines, your life will not be the same anymore. So that's it. So now I'd like you to see one more video, but this should be English version. Then, and I'll give you some guidelines so that you will not be lost. Let me find it. Sayo, maybe here. Yeah, this is it. All right, English, yes. So some things I would like to lead your attention. You will see Green Valley again, Kinalo again, and you will see my car, my very old 16-year-old car full of breaking downs. That's okay. But you will see a little church called Luyot. Luyot. That's one new place in Cervantes Ilocosor. We have started a pioneer work. And there is a senior lady called Rosa. She was a very unfortunate woman. Her husband was an irresponsible husband, always skipping one place to another, one lady to another. So she had to raise her three children, three daughters by herself. But praise the Lord, the ladies, her daughters grew up successfully, and many of them, all of them are working abroad now. So they send in money, so she was able to build a very good big house. You know, but the husband came back very sick. So, you know, he stays at home like this all day. You know, in Japanese we have an expression like raw garbage, or, you know, fallen leaves mixed with rainwater or something like that, right? Nureochiba. So, this just sick and gloomy and just sticking to her like this. And she was, oh, my, annoyed. And, oh, my life has been annoyed by this guy. What was my life for? And she was depressed, but she met a good guy, me, and another good guy called Pastor Oscar Ogarno, my father, there in the Philippines. And through us, she met the best guy, Jesus Christ, and her life was changed. Now she's full of joy, and every time we visit her, she's a little lady, but she just runs to us, and she just gives a hug, and just kisses here and here, like this. And I say, oh, hello, Sister Rosa, like this. And then when she comes to the service, she shares her testimony with tears, and she shares her testimony of her whole life. She shares her testimony for 45 minutes every week. So every week she hears the same story. So that's why, you know, when she stands up in front of people, people start to screaming gently, hallelujah and amen, stop it, and like this. But, you know, she doesn't listen. You know, that's a great problem to a church right now. But she's full of joy, and through her now, the joy of the Lord has been shared with people around her. That's something great. So when you pray for the Philippines here in Japan, great miracles take place there in the Philippines. So this time, I will desperately like to ask you to pray so that her 45-minute testimony will end. Please pray for us. And also you will see a typhoon called Pepeng, Typhoon 17 in 2009, which killed 500 people in our area. But praise the Lord, you prayed for us, you gave a love offering, rescue offering for the cause, and that was a great help to us. And also you will see some other clips. But the important thing, the bottom line is, the Philippines is a Christian country, isn't it? Don't you know? 95% of the whole population of the Philippines are Christians. Why do you need a missionary? But many people's faith is mixed with other religions, mixed with their local gods, ancestor worship. So that's why you need, they need missionaries there. You will see a picture where a little Jesus, a statue of Jesus is standing. That's called Santo Niño, not Casa de Niños. But Santo Niño means Holy Son. Casa de Niños means house of children. So Santo Niño is a little 12-year-old Jesus. And you will see a little Buddha standing together with Jesus with the same fingers like this. And you will see some incense sticking out of the Pringles package, you know, the potato chips package. So they give the incense to the little Jesus and to little Buddha, and they ask for the peace of the family, success of their business, then rescue from evil spirits. They are afraid of ghosts and evil spirits. The Philippines needs freedom. But at the same time, remember, the Philippines is a country that sends out so many workers abroad. One out of every eight Filipinos. So if you exclude senior people and children, perhaps one out of four or five, every four or five Filipinos is out of the country to work. You may have heard some testimonies. Some Filipinos come to Japan, they started their church, and now Japanese people saved through the Filipino church in Shizuoka Prefecture. Filipinos go into Muslim countries where missionaries cannot easily come in. But as babysitters, they teach English, they teach the Bible, and now princes and princesses of the Muslim royal families, some of them are Christians. So please pray for the Philippines with a slogan, from the Philippines into the world, from the Philippines to Japan. Let's watch the clip again. Thank you. two core missions for pioneer churches. And at the seminary called Asia Pacific Theological Seminary. That's an international seminary with students from 20 or more different countries. And this is again Green Valley Assembly of God. As I told you, kids are growing. And I have already mentioned the fences and Kinalo AG again. And missions tour again. Praise the Lord, this is my granddaughter kind of old car. Chasing a chicken? Let's sell it, huh? Let's sell it for some profit. And off-road always. And even crossing the river. And a hanging bridge again. You don't have to see it. Scared again. That's my daughter. Enjoying her life there in the Philippines. Don't do that. And this is Luyot. And this is Sister Rosa. This is Sister Rosa. She's already ready, you know, in the front seat. And after this, they have to suffer 45 minute testimony again. No doors, windows, and flooring. Yeah, they still rejoice and praise the Lord. Amen. And God has given us this lot for only Juni Mayan. So please pray for Luyot. Then the typhoon. The typhoon attacked northern Luzon 3 times. 1, 2, and 3. Killed 500 people. And right after that, another one came. But thanks for your prayers. It just came and went to Japan. And we were encouraged by your recycle clothes and your relief donation. We moved the church building and to help a college student, that boy who lost his parents in a landslide. So this is my English class and students practicum and small group and Missionary Training Institute, Japanese students. My translation work, Michael Green, who is this Jesus? And your giving supports many Bible school students so that they will become local young leaders for the next generation. So thank you so much for your support. So this is the conclusion. Why do they need missionaries? This is it. You see Pringles here, right?
Yeah, freedom and deliverance needed. But look at this potential again. If the Philippines change, the whole world may change. See, imagine one out of every five people here goes out into the world as a missionary. So please pray for the Philippines. Amen. Let's go back to our scripture and conclude. The Apostle Paul talks about the origin, the Jewish origin of this Christian message. And he talks about world missions, Gentile missions and world missions. But that's not the goal. That's not the whole goal that he's picturing, depicting here. Because verses 8 through 12, as we read, is included, is one part of a larger portion of the scripture, which is from verses 7 through 13. So 8 through 12 are embedded in these 7 through 13. So we don't see the Apostle Paul's intention of talking about 8 through 12 without looking at verses 7 and 13. Verse 7 says, "Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praises to God." So he talks about acceptance of believers, believers' acceptance to each other. Verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace," of course, from salvation, "as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Here, hope is very contextual. Hope is not only the hope that we generally have for our heavenly life, or after life, when we get to heaven, we have the eternal life. Yes, amen, that's our hope. But here, the hope in this context is not only for that, but also hope to be united as one. Hope to be able to accept one another as one. Because this portion of the scripture from verses 8 through 13 is another portion of a wider discourse from chapter 15, 1 through 13. And this chapter 15, 1 through 13 is another part of a larger portion from chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 13. So this is a concluding part of chapters 14 and 15, the first half of chapter 15, and it says, "Accept one another." Chapter 14 discusses some Christians are very faithful to observing some special holidays, and some Christians don't care about it, and they were kind of in disharmony, and this group sees the other group and says, "Oh, you are not faithful because you don't observe these holidays." But this group of believers say, "You are weak Christians because we are free in Jesus Christ, but you don't really experience that. They're still sticking to your old customs." So they were criticizing each other, and they were accusing each other, and there was disharmony in the Roman church. But the Apostle Paul says, no, Christ died for both of you. You have to accept one another. It's great for us to be saved. It's great for us to walk with Jesus as Christians. But salvation-wise, that's enough. We can go to heaven. But that's not enough for us to live as true Christians on earth. Because we are gathered at a church. We are supposed to live in a family of believers. So brothers and sisters, I'd like to conclude this message. Yes, we will go out. We'll be faithful in worshiping God even alone. We will call out to our neighbors, try to invite them. We will come to church. We will worship God. But that's not enough. We have to accept one another. Here in the International Service, I see many different faces and we are from different backgrounds. It is easy for you to say, oh, that place is not mine anymore, and you stop coming. You try to find another international congregation somewhere in Hiroshima City. That's easy. But that's not the best. No matter what happens, no matter what difficult things happen, no matter what conflicts happen, please stay here. Please try your best to accept one another, to build up this beautiful international community, this beautiful English congregation here, Mitaki, at Mitaki Green Chapel. Brothers and sisters, are you ready? Let's go out, let's come back, and let's continue to build. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of your word. I'm afraid that it has a little bit been longer than some of us have expected. But Lord, we look up to you. We look up to you, the Lord of unity. The Lord of salvation, the Lord of Christian walk, but the Lord of our unity. You died for every single person of us, and we are supposed to accept every single person here today. Help us, Lord. It is easy to go very superficially. But once we decide to go deeply in our relationships, there may be difficulties and conflicts. But Lord, help us to understand, help us to accept, and help us to build up this congregation. We will pray for the Philippines. We will pray for Cambodia. We will pray for Guatemala. And we will pray for Japan. And we will pray for the countries that are represented here. May your blessings be upon us and upon all the nations we represent here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.